Well, we've been talking about truth over trend. In our culture today and in our society, remember that culture is cult. We think of what's going on in our cult today. Back in the old days, the Old Testament Israelites, the Israelites were commanded not to follow the cult worship, the Asherah poles, and worshiping of false gods and bowing down to creatures made of sea creatures and images of beasts and animals and Asherah poles and you name it. Those were the trends of the cult in those times. But we still have the trends of the cult today. We call it culture. But we still have those trends. Take your Bibles and go ahead and go to Matthew's 28 chapter. And we'll look at verse 19 and following. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. Now, as I said before, as we've taken on this reading our Bible in a month, for those of you that have stepped up to that challenge, it's hard. I read through Deuteronomy, I said, but one of the things I'm going to mention later on is something that impressed me over and over in a knee-jerk reaction, and that was that over and again, they came to the temple, even in rebellion, and said, we will. We will. Moses, in that sense, was making disciples. Jesus took up the 12, didn't he? Small group. He did not focus on the masses. Did he feed the masses? Sure. When you see him do those outstanding and outrageous miracles, one person. One. And so the mission of the church is to make and baptize disciples. One at a time. One at a time. We don't have to be fancy in our approach. We don't have to have gaudy ceremonies. We don't have to have dazzling lights and a big platform because we are the people of God. We are who we are. The gospel is enough. The word is enough. Go and make disciples. In verse 20 there, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. I'm having to think that Moses must have said that 400 times. In Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and a number of appeals in Numbers. I didn't get the count because I didn't make time, but he said it over and over and over. Over and over and over and over to obey these commands. Obey these commands. Obey these commands, and your land will be fruitful. Obey these commands, and you will prosper in everything you do. Obey these commands, and you will live a long life. What does the culture tell us? What does the cult tell us? And by the way, Moses said to his people, because Aaron and him were the spokesmen of God. Remember, Aaron was the one that had to speak because Moses wasn't a good preacher. And he was impatient. Remember, he pounded on the rock twice instead of just saying, the water's coming. And he couldn't enter the promised land. And right to the end of Deuteronomy, he still didn't enter the land because he disobeyed God. But over and over and over, he said, obey the word, obey the word, obey the word. I'm paraphrasing. Obey God, obey God, obey God. Over and over and over and over. But the Israelites didn't have to be anybody else. All they had to be was the people of God. Living differently. Acting differently, talking differently, not being subdued by the trends of the cult. not being mesmerized by the ways of the world, prostituting ourselves with foreign gods, as the Old Testament puts it. So sharing the gospel with others means engaging with the culture, yes, but while we stand on the timeless foundations of God's truth. We have it right here. If any of you are yearning and longing for God to speak directly to you, you don't have to look any further than this word right here. I get skeptical of people. The Lord told me. The Lord said. But then you see their lives, they're not a disciple. They're not living in God's ways. Oh, did the Lord really speak to you? Did he? We cannot allow ourselves to conform to the cult. We cannot allow ourselves to conform to the cult. So what is the Christian message to the culture? I think it's summarized very easily in these three statements. Don't fear the power and the principalities and the people. What do you see in our culture? Everyone's terrified of COVID-19. Everyone's terrified of the increase in taxes. Gas is going up to $4 a gallon again. It ain't quite there, but it's going to get there. People are losing their jobs. I was informed, I'm bivocational, as all of you know. I was an Army chaplain for many years and retired from the military, deployed and went to Iraq and baptized people in the desert. Man was on his hands and knees behind a tank asking God for forgiveness, and I told him, get up! You're going to get us killed. But he wanted Jesus, and he received him in biblical Ur. That's where Abraham came from. I stood on a Babylonian temple and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ facing the west, which is Canaan, and all the men around me received Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't get saved, but they wanted to hear the word of God and learn about Abraham. A couple of them later on did, in fact, get saved. Wars and rumors of wars. The economy. By the way, I was saying, yeah, so I was informed Thursday that if I don't get the COVID-19 shot, that I will be terminated on December 8th. But there is the reality, is there not? The bills have to be paid. There has to be bread in the basket, does there not? There has to be gas in the tank. There is a reality here. But don't fear the power and the principalities. Fear the Lord your God and obey him. That's what the Old Testament says again and again and again. And that's what it says in the New Testament again and again and again. God does not show partiality. We're divided in our culture. Well, let me rephrase. The media is trying to create a perception that there's a divide in our country. But there ain't no divide. There's a perception there's a divide. There's this constant nagging on who's this race and who's that race and there's this, all this. No. Are there people that do those horrible, wicked things? Yes, there are. Not the majority. Any Christian knows by reading the Word of God that racism is a sin. It's wicked at its very core. It's the cult. But God does not show partiality. Red, yellow, white, black, it makes no difference. In Christ, we're all one. We're unified in Christ. We come together in the name of Jesus, one nation under God. And if people would stop whining and stop complaining and get under Jesus, we would have all of these problems solved. If the church would rise up and be who she's supposed to be, we wouldn't have these problems. We've allowed secular society and wicked people to govern us. Why would we do that? I mean, if the Christians just got together under the name of Jesus, we'd vote some of these nitwits right out. Thirdly, live not for yourselves, but for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Live not for yourselves, but for the purposes of the kingdom of God. That means that God is our reasons. The gospel is our reasons and our whys. Why do I live? Why do I have a family? Why do I have a house? Because those things bring us joy. And we honor the Lord our God by living by his decrees and how he asks us to live the best we can. Are we going to achieve perfection? Never. The Bible doesn't say we will achieve perfection. Yes, in that day we will, but not while we're here. And if you look at even the priests had to have sacrifices made for them. Do you understand that all of God's people, no matter who you are, we all stumble, trip, and fail. The point is to persist in your faith. Persist in your faith. Persevere in hardship and toil, as James said. Endure trials of many kinds. And in order to do that, we have to have a focus that's bigger and greater than ourselves. That's right. Even the little ones know. They know. When I went over there in the desert, I was impressed as I was reading the Word of God, and God put a thought in my mind, and I know it's true, and it happened. And I told many of you before I deployed that I believe that God told me through his Word that not one hair on my head would be hurt. We were doing dangerous things. My unit took 47 IEDs, and not one single blade of my hair was touched. You live for God and his purposes, he will take care of the rest. I've been praying with you corporately as a church and saying it overall in my own personal life that when I pray to God, I'm like, God, we need your help. We need your divine providence in this. That's what our forefathers called it, was providence. That was intercession. God intervened on their behalf, and we'll do the rest. Lord, help us. We need a miracle, but we'll do the rest. That's what the Israelites did, didn't they? And they wandered in the desert 40 years, and we think they're wandering because they were wicked. Well, that's true partly. But God was teaching them how to obey him, that they would place their faith in the pillar, that God was directing them and driving out their enemies. They were taught how to trust him. And finally, when they get to the promised land, they said, Lord, we will obey. We will obey. And Moses' last sermon to the nation was, yep, you're saying you'll obey, but God knows you're going to be wicked. Go ahead and read Deuteronomy at the end. Yep, you're saying it now, but I know you're going to be wicked. You're going to turn to the false gods. You're going to do all these things. But because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I have a covenant with my people. And guess what? We are believers now because of that covenant. Those of you that profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is because the door was opened and God's grace was extended to us because of his word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are still under that blessing. In fact, the proof was that Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the heir to Joseph, is our Lord. Look at this. I had to throw it in there because it was just, it spoke to me as we were talking about this cult business. The Lord your God will delight in you. Huh? Isn't that, think of that, what that means. He's not up in heaven looking down saying, there you are again. He delights in you. You ever thought of that? If you obey his voice and keep his commands, well, obviously. obviously, and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, God will delight in you. He'll give you good things. He'll open doors. He'll cause miracles to happen in your life. It says there in Romans 8, does it not? That God causes all things to work together for good, those who love him. We have been sent, as we've read there in Matthew, on the authority of Jesus Christ. And in fact, in verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And do you think that when he ascended that he doesn't have that authority anymore? Think somehow he gave it up and subjugated because he's not here? You know what? Jesus is here. We just can't see him. He's here. But we do see him sometimes in God's people. When God's people act like this, we see the Lord all the time. When God's people love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul, and they're broken over their sins, and they're encouraged when they get it right, blessings happen. People are ministered to. Lives are taken care of. People are fed. The homeless are given shelter. The widows are taken care of. The orphans have a father. You name it. Our message does not need to be flashy, trendy, or chased after some fad to be relevant. This is where all the cultural... I'd be too harsh if I'd... Just let it be like this. There are a lot of folks who are doing this. And they're not relevant. They got all these flashy things and all these big buildings and all this stuff going on. And people go in the front door and they walk out the back. There's no disciple making. In order to be a disciple, you need community. You need to get involved with God's people right now. We need encouragement and being empowered. You know, remember back in the 50s? I guess I wasn't born then, but remember back in the 50s? When you got together as Christians, it was often to confront somebody about their wicked ways. And they were backslidden if you were in a Baptist church. And be pointed out. And they were shunning. They got it wrong. So let's get it settled right now. How many of us have sinned? Every hand in the room. Okay, now we got it settled. Now let's get to having a donut and coffee and encouraging and building one another up. What are you going to do for the kingdom? Let me help you. You need money? Let's figure out a way to get it done. You want to tell people about Jesus? Stand out in the corner. I'll make the sandwich board and we'll get a bell off Amazon if you want. However, there's 100 ways to tell people about Jesus. Hand out these cards. Get people in the door so they can hear God's word. They can hear it out there too. It doesn't matter. But we need each other. We need each other to be empowered and encouraged to hang in there and persist, to persevere when it gets hard, because it will. There will be persecution for everyone who follows Jesus. Jesus was very clear about this. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. And we need to come here and we gather together corporate worship at the tabernacle, if you will. Although we now know that our temple is the Holy Spirit's abode, isn't it? The temple is us. The Holy Spirit resides in us. That's why we need each other. And so we can build one another up and encourage one another and be empowered to face the next day. We need just to be the church. We don't need to be flashy and have some chasing after some form of relevance. Now, yeah, it's true. The church at times has become irrelevant. Sure. But we don't need this. What we need is to communicate the gospel. That's what we need. That's it. That's all. When the church closes their mouth, then they become irrelevant. When we stop talking about Jesus, now we become irrelevant. And so you get sermons that are talking about how to have a better marriage, how to raise your kids. Those are all wonderful, fine, and great things, but that's not why we come here. We come here to worship the Lord and learn about Him and be empowered and encouraged by His Spirit and worship and praise Him in song and be instructed out of the Word. That's what this is for. Go to a seminar, go to a class, go to counseling. Those are all awesome things. Please do if you need them. We will help. I will provide counsel if you need. But that's not what Sunday morning is. We may not have wooden idols anymore, but we do have greed, success, beauty, sex, power that many have made terrible, horrible, and wicked sacrifices for. We know this to be true. They've written songs about it. Cat in the Cradle. We put these things above our family and our relationships, and it causes and ends in our destruction, just as the Word of God says. Our culture teaches that if you have those things, you'll be happy and satisfied. Yet, on average, there is one death by suicide every 40 seconds. Globally, white males are 69% of all suicide deaths in the U.S. in 2019, and globally it is 1 in 5,000 or 800,000 per year. So if those things make you happy, now how come people are killing themselves in that number? Why? Because they don't have any hope. When they finally get the success and the beauty and all the things and the power that they've been craving and working their entire career for, they find that they're utterly empty. I watched an interview, Tyson Fury, how many know, with boxer, heavyweight champion, just beat Wilder, right? You know what he said? When I first won the title, I was happy for 5 minutes. That's what he said. He was happy for 5 minutes. And for those of you that know and follow him, he went into a terrible depression, gained 100 pounds, started taking cocaine and drugs and everything. The guy was broken. He was going 170 some odd miles an hour in a Lamborghini and intended to run it right into a bridge. And God spoke and said, "Don't do it." That's what he claims. Here's a man, achieved greatness in his sport. The WBA is the most prestigious belt there is. The IBF and the WBC, blah, blah, blah. Those are fine belts, but that's not the WBA belt. It just is not the belt. The most prestigious belt is the belt he had, plus he's a lineal champion, meaning that he beat the second-ranked boxer in the world. Second, number two, he beat him. So he was the champion in real time, really the champion. And at the end of that, he had all the belts unified, and he had five belts, including the Ring Magazine's championship, which is another additional thing. And after that, he was the champion of the world, the greatest in boxing. And then months later, he's in cocaine and depression and committing and wanting to commit suicide. He had no hope. He had no hope. And those things didn't bring him satisfaction at all. That's why God instructed us not to follow after these idols. That's why he said, he's not saying to be a jerk. You think God's up in heaven saying, "Let me see how I can make my people's lives miserable today." You think that's what he's doing? No, he instructs us this way because he knows the outcome. He knows the outcome. Satisfaction comes by living in the presence of the Lord and knowing that He is your God and He knows you and you know Him. Then you can have true peace and satisfaction because the Lord will give it to you. Our culture teaches that you have these things. Oh, yeah, sorry. Next. Perhaps in earnest effort not to conform to outside influences, we've managed to alienate ourselves from those closest to us right here in Andover. Maybe. It's a question I'm asking that's rhetorical. Have we done that? By not sharing the gospel. By not communicating the gospel. So our mission is to communicate the gospel so that anyone can understand the message. And the gospel message is especially understandable. Quickly now, go to Romans chapter 5. I want to read you several verses. And this encapsulates the message of the gospel. You can communicate it any way that you like. Go down the Romans road, Romans 3, Romans 5, 8, 10. However you want to do it. John 3. Communicate the gospel however you want. But the message is what's most important. The message contained in the words. So let me read this to you and it will be done. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. That's for every Christian. That's the Christian message. That's what God has done for us. Now here's the message that we share with the lost. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. And we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So you take away the greed and the power and the heavyweight championship and you replace it with what? God's grace. His Holy Spirit, his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus Christ. I added Jesus, the blood of Christ. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because the Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. The hostility is gone. That's the message. You don't need to flash that up. You don't need to say it in a certain way. You don't need to sprinkle sugar on it. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus, his son. If you die tonight, do you know whether or not you go to heaven? No. You want to know? You can know right now. How? Say a prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask forgiveness for my sins, and I pray you accept me as your son or daughter. Boom, you're saved. The Holy Spirit comes in you, and now you're a disciple. Get to church and get on with it. And don't look back. Otherwise, you're going to turn to salt. Well, not really. Lastly, we must not be so focused on doing the mission that we fail to live the mission. We must first be the disciple before we make disciples. We have to be the disciple first. So that means we need to be saved. Because then we can relate. And people can relate to us. And there's a big scare. And people say, oh, the Christians are here. Oh, you know, he's a Christian. I don't want to say this. Or, you know how people get when they find out you're a believer. I always ask people, you know, a guy said to me, said to someone else, I overheard. Yeah, I'm a believer. So when he came into my office, I said, what are you, one of them Christians? He said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I said, good for you, brother. Don't be afraid to say who you are. The Lord will go before you. He's going to open them doors. Every intersection you have in your life is an opportunity to share the gospel. Your God's going to, if you start praying that dangerous prayer, God, work through me today, he's going to send you to people that need him. And he's going to open that door. We call that an intersection. And when God sends you that intersection, open your mouth in love and share with them Romans 5, and then bring them to church to get discipled. Worship team, would you come?